Been really praying about this message tonight. It's weird when you live the service ahead of time in your dreams, and I think it was a bit of a nightmare. I kind of played out the sermon in my sleep, and then I was woken at like hoppers 3 in the morning with these loud fireworks, and thought I better just work on that message a little bit more. So one of just really praying, and I've titled tonight Crossroads. And we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 14. So if you can turn this along, Joshua chapter 14. Now, I had the privilege, unfortunate circumstances, but the privilege to go down to Cape Town to one of my churches that I had the privilege of serving at Durbanville Baptist. Now, I'd served there from 2002 to 2005. And my role there was as a children's worker and really working with the youngsters. And we had started a home cell group for primary school kids, starting with the grade 4s and 5s and 6s and 7s. And I had the privilege of journeying with that cell and seeing it multiply a few times into different groups. But we had a close connection. And going down to Durbanville and at the funeral service, meeting with some of the guys and connecting with some of the church members, I am so grateful that God gives grace. Because I tell you why, I cannot remember names. I learned something from Rex Matthews, the fact that Rex Matthews used to call everyone Butt. So like, hey buddy, you know. And you get down to Durbanville and these kids have changed. I haven't, I just lost hair. But they've changed, they've grown up, they're married, and it's scary. And Uncle Brian's always impressed me because Uncle Brian will tell you the whole history of the, how many kids have you taught through your hands? 30,000? 10,000 kids. He'll tell you about almost par short 3 kids of that 10,000. And he'll tell you the history. Now I arrive at Durbanville and I'm like, whoa. And the guys are coming up to him and I'm going, and God gave grace. And I remembered names and facts for most of those kids. And I was grateful. But what was exciting was seeing how some of these kids have grown. Having been there with some of the struggles they'd been through, some of the kids had gone through, parents had gone through divorce. They didn't go through divorce, but parents went through divorce. Saw their struggles at school. I identified that and connected with that. I saw so many different things, the heartaches. And that's the privilege that you have as a pastor of journeying alongside people. But what stood out as I started asking about some of the groups and as I connected with them, I remember this one girl was sometimes just had one foot in the world and one foot in the church and kind of really wrestled with her faith. And as I connected with her, and she is married and serving in another church, and you could just see the love for God and others in her eyes and such incredible faith. And I looked at her and just said, man, I'm so proud to see how you've grown, to see how you've become a woman of God and just so on fire for God. And I asked about some of the other kids and remembering them and the passion and just saying, you know, where are these guys at? And my heart broke as I found out that they were nowhere. They were lost, swallowed up. And my heart was just saying, God, you know, why? Why do we have this? Why do we sometimes start out as Christians so on fire for God and it just fizzles out? Are you there? Are you there at a crossroads where saying, God, you're calling me to bigger things, to more things? There you go, Dave. Or am I just going to carry on in my faith? Am I just going to live a nominal life? Am I just going to become a complacent Christian? And I believe that we come to those places as Christians in our life. We turn around and say, God, and maybe it's at a place where we get to this place and say, God, you know what? I've read the Bible. I've done this. I've done Sunday school before. You know, I've served in this way. It's someone else's turn now. God, I've read the scriptures and I've gone through the Bible and I did the Bible read, William. You know, I don't need to do this anymore. And we just pause and we say, that's it. So I'll still go to church. At least I'm not going to church on Christmas and Easter's only. I'll go in between as well. And I'll just do a few things and I'll pray for a few people and I'll be involved. But our fire for God goes out. So what do we do when we get to this crossroad? What I want to look at tonight at an incredible character. We speak about his friend so often, and that is Joshua. Not this Joshua, the older version of Joshua. Okay? But this Joshua, we often speak about Joshua, but Caleb, who was one of the spies too, and like Joshua, turned around and said, this is what God has promised. We can do this. When the other 10 spies said it was impossible. Their hearts were melted. Caleb was there saying, let's push on because we serve a faithful God. Well, we don't go to this encounter tonight. We're going to go to a little bit later on. And what has happened is Caleb now is at the age not of 40 when he was a spy, but the age of 85 here. And Caleb has got all rights to quit, to say, I have had enough. I've booked my place. You know, timeshares there in the retirement village. The younger generation can do this. But yet you see the same characteristics of Caleb when he was 40 at 85. A man on fire for God. And what are some of those things that he's done? What are some of the examples we can have? What has happened in the context is God has given the land. The land he has promised. Joshua and the Israelites have marched into Jericho. They've captured Jericho. We see that incredible warfare experiment of walking around the walls. I think that was incredible faith. Imagine those Israelite men going home and the wife said, so what happened today? Oh, we walked. So did anything happen? We're not told that there was any cracks in the wall or anything happening at that point. What incredible faith they must have had on day one. But what incredible perseverance and faith they had on day six. Especially when going home. So what happened? It's been 6 days. What have you been doing? But yet God was doing something. And we see that they've taken Jericho and we see that they've moved towards the south and they've pushed and they've been fighting the Canaanites for the last 5 years at this point. And Caleb has been involved in fighting that. Now, some of the tribes have been allocated land already, but Caleb is holding on to God's promise. And we're going to read through this. So we pick it up, Joshua chapter 14 from verse 6. And the title here in the NIV is Allotment for Caleb. The land that God has promised basically for Caleb. Now, the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Zephunim, the Kenzanite, said to him, you know what the Lord has said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. Notice that, my convictions. But my fellow Israelites went up with me and made the hearts of the people melt in fear. The hearts of the people melt in fear. However, I followed my Lord wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. Now then, as the Lord has promised, and he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel has moved into the wilderness, I'm here today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord is helping me. And I will drive them out just as he said. Man, to be on fire at the age of 85. I met with the facilitation for, there's a massive fraternal for Pretoria East called Love Pretoria East. And it's the churches get together. And I met with the facilitation team this week. And the reason for it is they've got a heart for youth ministry in the country, and a number of us were asked to come meet with them to talk about what God is doing in the city in terms of youth ministry. And they did this terrible thing, and they went around and said, please introduce yourself around the room and tell us how old you are. I'm the oldest youth pastor in the city. That's scary. And I know it, because I used to play a full soccer game with the guys. Then it changed to halftime. Then it changed to goalie. Now I support and I cheer for all 5 minutes that I can. But Caleb, 85, was still a fire for God. How did he get through that crossroad? How did he do that? Well, firstly, we see that we need to have the right heart. We need to have the right heart. See, the 10 spies didn't have the right heart. And it says that their convictions, their heart was so wrong that it melted the hearts of the others to listen to the 10. It was so infectious that it impacted an entire generation. But Caleb and Joshua had the right heart. What's described about their heart? Well, Caleb kept to his convictions. What was his conviction? That God is bigger. God is able. God can do. God can deliver. And God is faithful. What was Caleb's conviction? To follow God wholeheartedly, with every single ounce of who he is. What does Caleb's name literally mean? Well, I love this. Follows God like a dog. Okay. A cat is very different. A cat will come when food comes there, predominantly. The Mullers will disagree with me. But a dog will so faithfully wait at the gate for you. I don't know if you have that. We've got a Labrador with a big slobber. So you'll see my pants sometimes between a 2.5-year-old and a Labrador. I have to change just before I go to work. But Dexter follows me so faithfully. If I'm the one side of the house, you will find Dexter's on that side of the house outside. If I move to the bedroom, Dexter will move to the bedroom on the outside of it. They will follow faithfully until there's food. He is a Labrador. But to follow God, what does this mean? Caleb, to follow God wholeheartedly. Well, God was first. Caleb's desire was so much about God, I want to know you. God, I want to cling to you. God, I want to hold on to you. I want to embrace. I just want to love you. Is that our desire now? Because that's our desire when we first start out. What's made it change? What has slipped in stopping us from God or serving God wholeheartedly? Maybe we're here tonight and saying, God, I want to serve you wholeheartedly, but I just want to do this first. God, I want to serve you wholeheartedly, but, you know, I'm not sure if I trust you in this area. What's slipped in? What's removed your heart? What's taken place? Just like there's a void, so often when we stop serving God wholeheartedly and we say, God, I'm just going to serve you with this portion of my heart, a void needs to take something. It needs to be fulfilled with something. What has filled that place? Because that's what filled the 10 other spies. What is fulfilling yours? What are you finding in your heart? Caleb, at 85 years old, still serving God wholeheartedly. Somebody said this, that old age is when you've got it all together. You just can't remember where you put it. Caleb had it together still at 85, serving God with a whole heart. So tonight, what do you need to surrender? What do you need to do to put God first? Let's look to that. Secondly, we need to cling on to God's promises. We need to cling on to God's promises. God had given a promise to Caleb about the land. And Caleb was here standing there and he was saying, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Caleb could have so easily just settled. The land was big. They took the whole southern side. They've been fighting the Canaanites for so long. He could have just said to Joshua, just give me this corner so I can look at the mountain. And it'd be like a Cape Townian. Yeah? But Caleb wanted to get up that mountain. And that mountain had incredible enemies, had incredible challenges. But Caleb knew God's promise. And he wasn't going to settle for anything less than, God, I want that mountain because of your promise. I need to cling to that. See, sometimes when we hit that crossroad, we sometimes settle for less. God, I've done it. I've done the ministry. I've done my time. Let the next generation do this. Well, God, I'm too young. I'll wait till I'm a little bit older to do that. I'll wait. You have to be bald to be a youth pastor. You know, God, then that's when I'll become a youth pastor. God, I just want to be successful in this, and then I will serve you, and we settle for less in this. But tonight, we need to get back to the promises of God. Well, what promises of God is he saying? Well, the scriptures are full of promises of God. God is faithful, and he's provided so many promises. He calls us to a life, to live for him. He calls us to an incredible life, to be used by him, to make an impact in this world. God is calling us to this. But are we settling for less? Maybe you've had a promise from God, and maybe you've been asking God for certain things. And you realize that God has placed you in the school that he has. He's placed you in the university. He's placed you in that work. He's taking you into that new area, that new direction for a reason. And maybe God wanted to use you where he's placed you, and we've forgotten that promise. And we've settled for less. God, I'm just here. I'm happy to be complacent. See, when you learn about serving God, and when you learn about clinging to his promises, it means that we never can ever retire from serving. Caleb, at 85, never retired from serving God, but served him with the same enthusiasm, the same energy as a 40-year-old. Fortunately, it didn't say as a 13-year-old. Okay, a 40-year-old doesn't have as much, but anyway. But it didn't change. Let's get back to that basis where we cling to God's promises. His word is full of them. Let's not settle. There's a story of a scrawny kid that was in the area of West Texas who attended a small high school, and they didn't have a wrestling team. So a scrawny kid, so like William size, you know, not as staunch and big like me, all right? And the scrawny kid really, really desperately wanted to do wrestling. And even though the school didn't have a program, he read everything about wrestling that he could, and asked one of the assistant football refs, coaches, if he could help him enter into wrestling matches in that region. And so the school very reluctantly agreed to help the kid and thought, this is going to be over very quickly. This weakling of a kid, this scrawny little guy, is not going to do. It says that this little guy was neither strong nor skillful, but he had one enduring quality, and that was he refused to give up. It says that he went on and won every single wrestling match because he just clung on to his opponents and eventually wore them down. By the end of the season, he was undefeated and made it into the state finals at his weight classification. The kid's opponent at that final was a two-time champion and a bona fide college prospect. As the scrawny kid faced the state champion made a couple of quick moves and soon had the West Texan kid pinned down. The coach knew his athlete was about to lose and couldn't bear to watch it, so he turned his head away. And suddenly the coach heard this roar from the crowd and turned around, and the kid was on top of the state champion pinning him. He had won the match. The little guy bounced across the mat and hugged the coach and said, "Coach, I won, I won." And the coach said, "Sure, son, but I missed it. I turned away just before you were about to lose. What happened?" And the kid said, "Coach, that guy was good. He had me twisted like a pretzel on the mat. But you know me, coach, I never quit. I refused to give up. So I opened my eyes and there in front of my face was a big toe. I don't even know if it is against the rules or not, but I bit onto that big toe with all my strength. And coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own toe." Are we clinging onto the promises of God? Are we clinging onto Him all might and saying, "God, sometimes it seems so possible. God, sometimes it seems like I just need to settle down. God, I'm just so comfortable where I'm at. God, I'm just so tired where I'm at. God, this battle, this mountain seems so high. Lord, can I not just settle for down in the valley?" Or are we clinging onto the promises of God? God wants to use you. God wants to work through you. God wants to impact this city, this nation through you. But are you clinging on to Him? Or are you settled? You settled for less than what God has promised. Get back to His Word. Be reminded of how faithful God has been through your life. And rededicate. And say, "God, I need to cling back to You. Remind me of Your promises. Remind me it's about You. I want to hold on to You. Even if it means biting my own toe. But get back to clinging onto God's promises." That's what Caleb did. Are you ready to say, "I want that mountain and nothing less"? You know what's sad for me, and I'm going off note here, is complacency has slipped into this church, not into this church, into the church. And we settle as nominal Christians. But if we only regain that fire, if we regain that promise that God has given, if we gain that desire to go share the gospel at our workplaces and take that courage, even to go invite friends to church, just to take that bold step of doing that, that bold step of waking up every morning and saying, "God, I want to live for You beyond my what I just want to do." What impact would this country have? Because our country is not looking for a rugby team for hope. It needs a lasting hope. It needs a church that is standing up and saying, "God is faithful. Come with me because we're taking that mountain." Cling to His promises. Lastly, we need to have a God dependency. We need to have a God dependency. Caleb was not fooled about that mountain. He knew on that mountain it meant a fortified city. But he had seen a fortified city fall before. He knew that God was able to break that walls down, to break those walls down. He knew God 40 years ago, and he knew God that the 5 years ago, and the God today when he's 85 is still faithful to break down those walls. We need to have a dependency on God. Have we set up walls in our life? Maybe it's walls of hurt that we've set up and said, "God, You can't come into this area. God, this is so deep and painful that I'm just going to protect myself." And we're very good at building these fortified walls to protecting ourselves from being hurt again. We need to get back to a basis and saying, "God, I depend on You. I need You to break down these walls." Maybe it's a mindset that we have. The mindset of the 10, when they came to Moses, said, "We looked like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look like it in theirs." maybe we've got this grasshopper mindset, feeling so small, so insignificant, that we're not able to do it. Maybe that's where we're at. Maybe that's how we're feeling. But God is able. We need to get back to a dependency on Him. Are you willing to say, God, help me take down those walls? God, help me to see who You are. It's not about us. It's not about who we are, but it's about whose we are. God is faithful, and we are a child of the Most High God. A God who knows us, who knows us intimately, who knows every single detail of us, knows exactly what we've done. Nothing catches Him by surprise. Yet a God who is so gracious, merciful, loves us that He died on the cross for us. Let Him take down those walls. Let us depend on Him. Caleb also knew that what stood ahead was a tribe of giants. The name there interpreted would have been meant log-necked or strong-necked. They were huge guys that they were going to face. Caleb knew them. He would have seen some of them 45 years ago. At 85 years, he's still turning around and saying, I'm going to face those giants. I'm going to take them on, for the Lord is helping me. What giants are you facing right now? Maybe Satan has convinced you that you're not able or that you're not worthy. Maybe he's turning around and saying that you cannot look to the Lord. But we see through grace and mercy of Christ that we can look at the perfecter and author of our faith, who has marked out the race for before us. So Hebrews 12 says to us, what giant are you facing? Maybe it's absolute fear. Maybe it's financial problems. Maybe you're so despondent. Maybe somebody has come in and told you you're not able to, or you're not good enough. What giant are you facing? Caleb knew those giants, but he knew the Lord was helping him. Guys, God is incredible that He goes with us. Let us have such a God dependency. Let's get back to Him and saying, God, right now I need You to help me to face these giants. God, I so need You. Let's get back to having a dependency on Him. To finish up, I want to read a poem from an unknown author about Caleb. It says, he stood before Joshua with flashing eyes. Give me that mountain before I die. But Caleb, you're old and the mountain is high. Choose a peaceful spot on this plain to die. People who live on the mountain are strong. The battle you fight will be bloody and long. But his eyes never wavered as he spoke without fear. I have been promised this mountain for 45 years. And as for those people being so mighty and tall, the bigger they are, the heavier they fall. For it is not my strength that I'm counting, for it is God who's going to give me that mountain. So let's not quit talking while let's quit talking while it's still light, for the Lord and I have a battle to fight. You're at that crossroad. And the one of direction can be of complacency, or the direction can be renewal. God is not yet done. You're not yet done. Your service is not yet done. God wants to use you like never before. Stop making excuses, because it's about Him. So make it about Him. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for who You are. That, Lord, despite of age, whether you're young or old, despite of how busy things are, despite how sometimes things seem so hopeless, we can cling to You. We can know You So I pray, Lord, I pray that you would bring us back to a place where we serve you wholeheartedly. That we get rid of the things that have taken up that gap. Whether it's the sin we become complacent with. Whether it's our own dreams or desires. But Lord, that we may come to serve you and serve you first. Like Caleb, who a dog who follows God around. Desire you. Lord, remind us of your promises. The promise of the fact that we would never ever be alone, for you will always go with us. The promise of your Holy Spirit, our helper, our guide, our teacher, our lead. The promise of you completing the good work that you began in us. Help us to remind of those promises. And to cling to you. And Lord, that we would know it's about you. That we would know your help. That we would become absolutely dependent. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow faces. But we know we face it with you. And we thank you for that. In your name, amen.